Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So, we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball and Christopher Jones Cruz. Later, Jill Robbins and John Russell discuss progressive tenses on this week's Everyday Grammar. But first, here is Dan Friedel with a story from a special area of Northern California.
Some of the most successful technology business owners in Silicon Valley are immigrants. Silicon Valley is an area of Northern California that is home to major technology companies like Apple, Google, and Facebook. For some immigrants, just living in the United States is the goal, but others have bigger dreams, like Kasser Yunus. Yunus is the chief operating officer of Y Combinator. Y Combinator is an investment company. It gives money to new technology businesses in return for part ownership. If the company is sold or offers its shares for sale to the public, Y Combinator can make a lot of money. Yunus is from the Punjab area of Pakistan. He says he was just a normal child, but he says he believed from an early age that he could be successful in the U.S. Another Pakistani immigrant, Dilawar Syed, owns the software company Freshdesk. It provides customer support services. Syed said the people who live in Silicon Valley create big opportunities for themselves and each other.
The idea of making an impossible possible is the way we operate.
And he thinks Silicon Valley is unlike any other place.
I think the Valley is unique. In that ecosystem, there is an interesting mix of enabling factors that allow people to develop themselves, to push themselves, to take risks, fail often, and then succeed quite often in a spectacular fashion.
Many young entrepreneurs around the world dream of coming to California and starting a business. But how do they do it? There are organizations that can help. Mohammed Ibrahim's Leaders is one such group. It invites leaders of startups from the Palestinian territories to attend a one-month program in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley experts provide training and advice to the visitors. They learn how to market and grow their businesses. They find ways to increase sales, and Ibrahim says leaders can connect the startups that need money with investors. Google has a similar program called Launchpad Accelerator. It offers problem solving for people who started businesses in parts of Latin America and Asia. Those who come to the program spend 2 weeks at Google's headquarters and then get access to Google experts for 6 months. Another way people get their start is through internships. Internships are mostly unpaid training positions at companies. interns can gain valuable connections as well. The tech company Mozilla, known for their web browser, offers 3-month paid internships. Some Silicon Valley interns can earn as much as $5,000 per month. Nicole Gibson finds interns for Mozilla.
So here at Mozilla, we are looking for the best and the brightest, but we also focus on diversity and inclusion. So we have a wide range of interns that we actually hire. Since we are an international company, we can hire interns from all over the world, which is great. We hire into non-technical and technical roles, so we have a wide range of positions that they can apply for.
I'm Dan Friedel.
A newly built machine uses extremely small instruments to perform eye operations. The machine is reported to make fewer mistakes than doctors. Robots are already used to perform some relatively simple operations, like a hysterectomy, when a doctor removes a woman's uterus. But operating on the eye is more difficult than those kinds of surgeries. A cataract is a condition that many people develop as they get older. It makes the lens of the eye appear cloudy, making it more difficult for the patient to see. Doctors can remove cataracts through surgery. One of the difficult parts of that surgery is getting close to the lens. The doctor has to work very carefully next to the capsule of the lens without breaking it. That is where Access technology comes in. Access is one of the smallest robots for surgical use. It is the size of a soft drink can. The robot is equipped with instruments measuring only 1.8 millimeters in length. A company called Cambridge Consultants developed the Access system. Chris Wagner is its head of advanced surgical systems. He says Access could help patients in need of corrective eye surgery. Wagner says the company's robotics product can help with this extremely sensitive part of the operation of getting close to the lens without breaking it. He says with robotics and guidance and imaging during the operation, one can see where the robot is and see where the lens is, along with other important body parts. All of the machine's operating parts are inside the device, he says. This is different from traditional surgical robots that operate on a long, straight instrument. Wagner says the joints have been moved inside, so no arm is swinging around and no arm motion has to conflict with another robot arm. Critics say cataract surgery is not very difficult and the new machine may not be needed, but Wagner believes it shows that such small robotic devices could be used in many other ways.
I think the fact that it's a 1.8 millimeter diameter robot that's operating on the size scale of the eye is exciting. This just opens the door to a number of different types of procedures that you could do that previously weren't possible.
That means the device could be used for treatments that require more attention to detail than human hands can provide. I'm Ann Ball.
The Alice Ferguson Foundation is a nonprofit group that works to improve the environment by building relationships between people and nature. The foundation is based in the state of Maryland. It was created more than 50 years ago. It teaches people ways to protect the environment. At the end of the year, it designs events to help children celebrate Christmas without increasing the amount of waste they create. Hannah Seligman works for the foundation. VOA joined Seligman recently during one of her talks.
So let's figure out what is in our bag of trash.
She shows adults and children how to reduce waste during the holiday gift-giving season.
You can sort it as a cardboard item, or you can sort it as a plastic item.
Seligman works with volunteers.
We encourage using things that are already in your house, like newspaper or old magazines. Using a gift within a gift, you can wrap something in a reusable napkin, wrap something in a scarf or a shawl, or even a reusable tote bag.
Urging people to recycle is important in the Washington, D.C. area. It is home to the Potomac River, one of the most famous rivers in the country. The river is 652 kilometers long. It begins in the mountains of West Virginia, goes through Maryland and Virginia, and ends in the Chesapeake Bay. About 5 million people live near the river. That means a lot of waste can enter the river and the bay, which is important to fisheries. Seligman says the amount of waste created increases during the holidays.
We found out that from Thanksgiving Day to New Year's Day, the household trash increases by 25%.
Many young people do not know how much waste enters the river until they help to clean it up. Lori Arguelles is the executive director for environmental education at the Alice Ferguson Foundation.
Over time, we realized that really just doing trash cleanups was the symptom of the problem, not getting to the root cause. And so it was just a little over a decade ago that we started the initiative itself.
The Trash-Free Potomac Watershed Initiative is an effort by the Alice Ferguson Foundation to support clean agricultural methods. It includes educational programs at an environmental center on the foundation's farm. Programs teach children about the kinds of pollution that can enter the watershed. These include plant and farm waste and trash from homes. One activity is called the Trash Timeline Game. It teaches children that the things they throw away do not decompose or break down at the same rate. For example, paper dissolves in about 4 weeks. An apple core takes 2 months to break down. A metal can takes up to 100 years. Some things that become trash take a very long time to break down. A plastic bag will not decompose for 450 years. Glass takes 1,000 years. And, they say, styrofoam never dissolves. Hannah Seligman says styrofoam is banned because of its ability to hold toxic or poisonous substances.
This is the most toxic form of plastic. And the reason why it's so dangerous is because when it's out floating in the water, it absorbs all the other toxins in the water. So now what we've done to prevent that is the Anacostia River watershed has banned styrofoam.
Young people taking part in the program learn that reducing waste is important, not just during the holidays, but every day of the year. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
The American Dictionary, Merriam-Webster, has named surreal its 2016 Word of the Year. Merriam-Webster's Learner's Dictionary defines the adjective as very strange or unusual, or having the quality of a dream. The word entered the English language in the 1930s, following the artistic movement known as Surrealism. Merriam-Webster says searches for surreal rose after several world events and tragedies in the past year. Major increases in the number of lookups directly followed the terrorist attacks in Belgium and France, the overthrow attempt in Turkey, the Brexit vote, and the death of American musician Prince. But Merriam-Webster reports the largest increase in searches for surreal came just after the United States presidential election last month. Its meaning comes from the word's two parts. The word real comes after the preposition sur, which means above or over in the French language. Surreal is often used to describe something shocking. People might use the word when they cannot believe or do not want to believe reality. Surreal can have a negative or positive meaning. For example, the Grand Canyon or a trip to the moon could be described as surreal. Other popular words of 2016 include revenant, icon, and bigly, Merriam-Webster says. Revenant means one that returns after death. It comes from the French verb for return. The Oscar-winning Hollywood film The Revenant drove this word's popularity. People searched for the word icon in high numbers following the death of pop star Prince. It means a person who is very successful and admired. Bigly became hugely popular after many people thought U.S. President-elect Donald Trump used the word during a presidential debate. People questioned whether the adjective big can be used as an adverb in the English language. But language experts agreed that Trump actually said big league. This expression describes something very successful or high level. Trump used it as an adverbial phrase. Language experts also agreed that bigly is a word, although it is not often used. Other dictionaries have also announced their 2016 Words of the Year. The Oxford English Dictionary chose post-truth, which describes situations in which facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. The phrase became popular during the 2016 U.S. presidential elections. Dictionary.com named xenophobia its word of the year. It means fear or hatred of foreigners. A huge increase in searches for the word happened on June 24th, one day after Britain voted to leave the European Union. I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is what's trending today. Have you heard this song? It is the theme song for a television show in Japan. The song is called Koi, and the singer is Gen Hoshino. He is one of the actors on the show. According to reports from Japan, the actors in the show dance to the song at the end of each program. The dance includes moves like tapping your shoulders and wiggling your fingers above your head. It is catching on in Japan. Its popularity is similar to the recent mannequin video challenge that spread across the United States. Some people in Japan are posting videos of themselves doing this dance. Japanese figure skater Yuzuru Hanyu made one of these videos. He won the men's gold medal at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Another person who made a dancing video is Caroline Kennedy, the U.S. ambassador to Japan. She and members of her staff made a video of themselves doing the viral dance. The U.S. embassy in Tokyo posted it on Tuesday. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Today we are going to look at the progressive verb tenses. Progressive tenses express actions that are unfinished or in progress. There are three progressive verb tenses: the past progressive, the present progressive, and the future progressive. Progressive tenses are the same as continuous tenses.
We will start with the present progressive, the most common progressive tense. You form the present progressive tense by using a form of the verb be followed by an ing verb. For example,
I am watching a movie.
It is easy to confuse the simple present and the present progressive. What's the difference between
it rains in Seattle
and
it is raining in Seattle?
It rains in Seattle states that it rains in general. It does not necessarily mean that it is raining at the moment of speaking. It is raining in Seattle means that the rain started in the past, is happening now, and will probably continue into the future. Now, at this time and currently, are common adverbs in the present progressive. The present progressive can also express a scheduled event in the future, For example, this sentence is in the present progressive.
She is starting school next semester.
The meaning here is the same as the sentence in the simple future.
She is going to start school next semester.
The present progressive and simple future, with be going to, sometimes have the same meaning. You can also use present progressive with always to say that something disturbs you.
My neighbor is always playing loud music at night.
Or,
I am always making mistakes with verb tenses. Let's move on to the past progressive. The past progressive describes an event that was in progress in the past. To form the past progressive, use was or were followed by an ing verb. For example,
I was working late last night.
Sentences in the past progressive often have two actions. For example,
it was snowing when the plane landed in Denver.
Notice that the second action, landed, is in the simple past. The past progressive can also express an action in progress interrupted by a second action.
I was running when I slipped and fell.
Or,
I was sleeping when you called.
It is possible to have two progressive actions in the same sentence if the two actions are happening at the same time. You could say,
I was sleeping when you were working. The future progressive tense describes an event that will be in progress in the future. To form the future progressive tense, use will be followed by an ing verb. For example,
I will be waiting for you when you finish work.
The future progressive can be useful when you are making plans. Imagine your friend wants you to pick her up at the airport tomorrow, but you have to work. You could tell her,
I'm sorry, but I will be working when your plane gets in.
You can learn more about future tenses in this previous episode of Everyday Grammar.
There are some verbs that cannot be used in any of the progressive tenses. You would say,
I own a car.
Not,
I am owning a car.
Own is a stative verb. Stative verbs describe unchanging conditions or situations. Stative verbs often refer to mental states such as know, realize, like, believe, understand, love, hate, appear, and exist. A few verbs have both stative and non-stative meanings. Let's look at the verb think.
I think the book is good.
Is stative. The action does not change.
I am thinking about you.
Is progressive. It shows a temporary, changing action. Sensory verbs like see, taste, feel, smell, and hear work in the same way. Progressive verbs are especially useful for describing changing emotional states. For that reason, they are very common in song lyrics. We will leave you with a few examples. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
I was dreaming of the past.
I'm Katie Weaver for VOA Learning English. Thanks for joining us.